Impact, a continuing series of talks based on modern and ancient wisdom. And here is our host, Dr. Anil Mehta, at the Bakersfield Chinmaya Mission.
Today we shall talk about sadhana, which is a Sanskrit word which means spiritual practice. Spiritual practice. And why do we practice spirituality? What is the goal? What is the purpose? And our scriptures tell us that we need to find where is God. Because we have heard, that God is everywhere. He's there in the space, he's there in the ground, he's there in me, he's there in the lights, the chair, the sun, the moon, the plants, the birds, the fish, the tree. He's there everywhere. But I don't see him. I don't experience his presence. I feel myself lost, as if far away. And where is this God, this Khuda, or this Father in heaven? Is he, we think of him as the Father in heaven, but despite hearing again and again that he is within you as the life principle, we are unable to experience his presence. And because of that, the problems of the world come because of our separation from the Lord. The further we go away from him, the further you go away from peace, from joy, from happiness. And the closer you go to him, the more you find that peace, that joy, that happiness, that bliss that is described in the scriptures. But the search for God is the sadhana, is the spiritual practice. And what are the steps and how we can pursue our journey, we shall try to cover in the next half hour. Of course, a topic like that can take several years to understand, but I'll try to do it in 30 minutes. The main point is that spirituality should become our main pursuit in life. In fact, should be the only pursuit. Most of us, for us, everything is important. Family, job, money, car, house, vacation, beach, summer cottage, winter cottage. After all those things, then we have a little bit of time somewhere, for God, maybe. Or Sunday morning, 1 hour, that's all. 10 to 11, I went to church and my spiritual pursuit is over and I don't need to. And we know that to be successful in any endeavor, one has to make it a main pursuit, as we have talked about many times. An Olympic athlete makes winning the gold medal his main pursuit. A businessman who starts a new business does not say, I'm only going to go to my business from 10 to 11 on Sunday morning and the rest of the week. I'm not. So success in spirituality is even more important than success in business, success in family, success in our work. Yeah, no doubt, we have to work, we have to have a family, we have to have material success. But unless you progress spiritually, your life is a waste. That's what the scriptures tell us, that unless you have taken this journey towards him, you have wasted this golden opportunity. Because to be born as a human is so fortunate. We could have been born as a dog or a fish or a plant or, could be anything. They say you are born as a human, you have all your limbs intact, you have the access to this knowledge. There are so many people who can't read, who can't write, who can't understand. And after having all this wonderful opportunity to waste your life, is a sheer tragedy. So they tell us, make this your main pursuit. He said that should be the only pursuit. Everything else is secondary. Even while I'm working, even while I'm cooking, I should be thinking about the Lord and remembering Him, because that is my main purpose of human birth. And then we find that we have all wonderful opportunities to procrastinate. You know, I'm supposed to go to church, or I'm supposed to do this spiritual work, and some friend comes and says, it's okay, you can do it tomorrow. And so we sit down and talk to him for an hour, or if you have a picnic or a party to go to, or some, you know, I'm supposed to meditate, you know, and so a friend calls and says, what are you doing? You're not going to say, oh, I don't have time, I'm supposed to meditate, you know, because we feel ashamed, you know, why should we? So we'll talk to him for an hour or her for an hour and waste our precious time. So they say avoid laziness and avoid procrastination, because we are wonderful at procrastinating. You know, everything else is important. You know, if it's a material work, we have full attention. You know, if it's my job, I pay full attention. If it's something related to my social life or a party, you know, immediately, or a gossip, if somebody is gossiping, our attention is full. But in spirituality, we say, it's okay, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next year, I'll do it after I retire. And for Hindus, they say, I'll do it next life. So it's wonderful. So they procrastinate. And that is the most wonderful excuse, that I'll do it later. But what they say is that, do you know about the next life? Do you know about the next birth? Do you know about the next hour? You know, whether I'm here today, but an hour later, am I still going to be on this earth? Am I still... When the last breath comes, nobody knows. So they say, start from now itself, that from today onwards, my journey has to be towards the spirit. Away from the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, and towards the spirit within, towards the Lord's presence within. And that is the spiritual journey, that is the sadhana, that is the practice. Then they say that sadhana, or the spiritual practice, are of two kinds, external and internal. External, we all know, you know, you go to the church and you offer a candle and you kneel down and, you know, chant, or, you know, the verses from the Bible, or you go to the temple and do aarti, or you read from the Guru Granth Sahib, or whatever the scriptures are. And then you do service. You know, I serve the people as I'm serving the Lord, or as I go and work in poor areas, or you know, or some people put on a particular dress, you know, maybe a priest robe or a monk's robe. So these are external methods of sadhana, and they are very important. You know, one should not neglect, one should not say, God is within, so why do I need to go to the church, or why do I need to pray? No, one must have time set aside for prayer, for meditation, for reading the scriptures, for serving. So certain amount of external sadhana is very necessary, because until you do external, your mind will not become quiet. And the benefit of this external sadhana, this whether it's service, whether it's prayer, whether it's meditation, it helps to quieten my mind. And in a quiet mind only, the sadhana can be internal. Ultimately, the journey for towards the Lord has to be within my heart, has to be inside each and every one of us, because until you discover Him within, you can never see Him outside. You may try as hard as you want. You may go sit in the Himalayas, you know, sit in Mount Kailash where the Lord is, or you may go to Bethlehem and stay where Jesus was born, or you may stay in Mecca for years sitting in front of that black stone. But until you find the Lord within, you can never find Him outside. So they say, search for Him within. And how do you do that? Through meditation, through chanting the name of the Lord, through quietening the mind and feeling His presence within. And one has to constantly remind oneself that I am that consciousness. I am not this body. That's what we do in meditation when we sit silent. You say, I am that consciousness. I am that Brahman. I am a manifestation of that. Lord, this body, mind, and intellect is just a dress I have put on. I put on the dress of this body, which eventually I have to drop and I have to leave. And every day spend about 5 minutes just reminding yourself that I am that consciousness, I am that consciousness, I am that Brahman, I am that infinite being. I am not this limited individuality. I am not Anil or Stafford or Donna. I am none of these, but I am that consciousness. So constantly remind yourself and go inwards, because the presence of the Lord is within. And how can one do that? You know, people say, I have so many desires, you know, I have so many, I want this and I want that. And I have so many negativities. I have anger, I have greed, I have hatred, I have jealousy. And then people say, I should have heard this 20 years ago. Now it's too late. I'm a sinner and I don't think I can be accepted in the church. If I was God and if I came there, I would kick myself out. You know, I would never, you know, that's how people say that I don't think I'm worthy. So there was a very famous saint in India in the 17th century. His name was Mahamati Prannath. My mother has done a lot of research and written a lot of books on his teachings. And one beautiful section he talks about, he says, Gun phirai hai, turn your qualities. All your negative and positive qualities can be turned in service. Like say if you have desire, you know, you have greed. So right now my greed is turned towards money. I must have more money, more money. Turn that greed towards the Lord. That right now, say if I have 100,000, I want 200,000. You know, that is one way. But you say, today I only did 100 times chanting the mantra. Tomorrow I'm going to do 200 times. So become more greedy. Today I sat for meditation for 20 minutes. Tomorrow I will sit for 40 minutes. So turn your greed towards Him instead of turning your greed towards the world. Now somebody has anger. You know, say, I have so much anger. I have so much anger. I have so much hatred. And I hate this person and I'm angry towards this person. So they say, instead of being angry at the hatred or at other people, turn your anger towards your negative qualities. Why do I have this quality? I hate this negative quality in me. I hate this. So I'm angry, but turn the anger inwards to improve yourself. Not that I'm saying that you become angry about yourself and put yourself down, but that this anger should be directed towards my negativities. That why do I have these negativities and how can I remove them? You have jealousy, you know, you're jealous of other people's progress. Yeah, you're jealous of other people, you know, that person has a bigger house, that person has a bigger car. Become jealous of other people's spiritual progress. That if, you know, Saint Francis could do it, why can't I do it? If Mirabai could do it, if, you know, all these saints, all these people, they were ordinary human beings. They also were born from their mother wombs. They also walked on two legs. And if they could reach that spiritual, why can't I reach? So you have a desire to compete, so compete with others. That, okay, you are going to meditate, I am going to meditate more. Again, the idea is not to put somebody else down. It's not that you think yourself superior or arrogance. But the idea is that all my negative qualities should be turned in a positive direction. Like somebody is very cheap and doesn't want to spend money, is a miser. So you say, instead of being a miser about money, I'm going to become a miser about my good qualities. I'm going to hold on to them and not let anybody take them. I don't want to lose my good qualities. I want to preserve them, just as a miser wants to hold on to his money or wants to hold on to his possessions. So this reminds me of a little joke. There was these two people who were very cheap, who were very miserly. And they were trying to boast that who is a greater miser. So one guy says, I went on my honeymoon and I saved 50% of the money. So So he said, how did you do save 50%? He said, for my honeymoon, I left my wife home and I went alone. So the other guy said, this is nothing. What did you save? Only 50%? I saved 100%. He said, how did you save 100% on your honeymoon? He said, my wife wanted to go on her honeymoon. I sent her with my friend. So I don't mean become cheap like that, but but become possessive of your... So turn your attention, turn all your qualities towards him. You know, right now we find so much joy in worldly things. You know, if I get my new car, or if I get a new dress, and get a diamond, or get a piece of jewelry, I get happy. But develop that same happiness when I find the Lord. You know, when I feel his presence within, when I chant his name, when I remember him. You know, that's why when we go to a church or a temple or a mosque, we feel so peaceful. Why? Because our inner agitations have become less. So find peace in those, in the spiritual things. Do not find peace in worldly things. Most of us look for contentment, look for peace, look for satisfaction in the world. So turn your attention inwards and turn your negative qualities into positive assets. So that is the idea. Not that one should become negative, but when you constantly do that, you will find that those negativities also become assets. And most of these saints had tremendous determination. In fact, in the Upanishad, it says that the Lord, na ayam atma balahinena labhya, this atma, the Lord, cannot be obtained by a weakling. So by a weakling who has, it's okay, if I get it, it's fine, if I don't get it, it's not. You have to say, I want him at all costs. There is nothing else I want. So have your determination, have courage. And as you turn your mind towards spirituality, detachment is automatic. Because the whole goal of spirituality, Swami Chinmayananda, our founder, used to say, that spiritual sadhana is two words, detach and attach. Detach and attach. So detach from the world and attach to him. As you slowly turn your mind towards the Lord, automatically you will get further away from the world. The more you run towards the world, the further you get away from the Lord. So gradually practice detachment from the world and hold on to him. Hold on to him with love, with total fascination. And what that will do is that will reduce our mental chatter. Because at this moment, the moment I sit for meditation, my mind is running 100 miles an hour. I'm sitting in the church, but I'm thinking about after church, it's Sunday afternoon, where am I going to go? You know, picnic, my friend has a barbecue, and I'm, you know. So our mind is constantly chattering, and we cannot focus. And why is the mind not able to focus? Because the mind is full of desires. The more desires you have, the more your mind becomes agitated. So how do we reduce the mental chatter? By developing contentment. By having an attitude of contentment that, oh Lord, I am happy with what you have given me. Each and every one of us gets what we deserve. We do not get what we desire, but we get what we deserve, and he alone knows what I deserve. So have an attitude of gratitude. In fact, one of the gentlemen who comes to the class once in a while, he was here last week. And the first 10 minutes when he sits for meditation, he talks about gratitude. That he will mentally thank the Lord for all the things that he has been given. So as you develop an attitude of contentment, as you develop an attitude of turning inwards, you will find that automatically your mental chatter reduces. As you detach from the world, your chatter automatically. And it is very, very clear when you sit for meditation, and someday if your mind is very quiet and it is not running, you will find yourself very much more peaceful, much more happy, much more relaxed. Or you go out in the nature and you sit down on Hart Park and just watch the river flowing and sit under a tree and hear the birds chirping, and your mind becomes so quiet, because in nature you feel His presence. He is there. When you sit under the tree, it's like you are being blessed by the Lord. You're in His shelter. So as you spend time, you will have more quietude. And the goal of spirituality is to reduce the mental chatter. And we find that the more you get busy in the world, the more active your mind becomes. And we pride ourselves. You know, I can talk on the phone and I can drive and I can have a cup of coffee. And I myself am not, you know, bad about that. But that is the problem. That is what Eknath Ishwaran, a great saint, used to say, that practice one-pointedness. Do one thing at a time and do it well. If you're eating, just eat. Don't eat and watch television. Don't eat and read the newspaper. If you're talking to somebody, have full attention to that person. So as you practice is ekagrata or one-pointedness, your mind will become more quiet. It will reduce the chatter. And as the mind reduces the chatter, in that silence you will feel His presence. The mind is the biggest obstacle to spiritual realization. The obstacle is not the world, it is not my husband, not my wife, my child, my job, my boss, my parents. It is my own mind. And a person who has conquered his mind has conquered the world. Last week we had talked about the topic, as the mind, so the world. So quieten your mind through contentment, through service, through charity, through meditation, and you will. That is where your spiritual journey begins. Last, I'd like to talk about, I recently saw a movie about Nelson Mandela. Most of you may have seen it or you may have heard about him. He was the first president of independent South Africa. And the movie is called Invictus. Also, it's called The 16th Man. And it's a very interesting. Mandela was jailed for 37 years. He was jailed for 37 years by the British, by the whites, because there was apartheid. And the whites had jailed him for 37 years just for opposing, because for demanding equal rights for blacks. And it is very interesting. For 37 years, he was kept in the jail. And only time he was allowed out of the jail was when they were giving him hard manual labor. So they would make him do hard manual labor, and the rest of the time he was kept locked up. And a person who has been jailed for no apparent obvious reason for 37 years would come out with extreme resentment towards the people who had jailed him. And then in that movie, there's also another young man who idolized Mandela but had a lot of hatred for the oppressors. And he had actually tried to shoot somebody, a policeman, and he also was jailed. So when Mandela comes out of jail, and he gets appointed the president of the country, and now this country, unlike other African countries, had a large number of mixed population. There were a large number of blacks, there were whites, and then there were these mixed. And that country could have become a total civil war, because the whites had all the weapons, they had the money, they had all the arms. And as happened in many African countries, Congo and so on, where the countries broke up into 2-3 countries and a lot of violence and riots and all occurred. And he could have easily transformed his bitterness into hatred. But the first act he did is very interesting. This movie is about the rugby team, you know, the South African rugby team. And the rugby team in South Africa was segregated, but only whites could play the rugby. And there were special seats for whites to watch. And the blacks could only stand in one corner. They didn't have good seats and they didn't even have a place to sit. They could stand and watch the games. And interestingly, the blacks actually used to cheer for the opposite country. If South Africa was playing New Zealand, they would cheer for New Zealand because they hated the fact that they could not play on this white team. And so the first act when he became president, of course, then the team was integrated, and South Africa, then they included a black in the team, not because of Mandela, but I think that was the progress, because South Africa was not allowed to compete in the world. So they had 14 white players and the 15th one was black. And so Mandela, the first thing he did when he became the president, he went to a game, and people said, you know, this game is represents all the bad things that have been done to us. How can you go to that? And he puts on a cap of this rugby team, puts on a jacket of the rugby team, goes and shakes hands with the captain and says, I wish you all the best. We are in a competition, and let our country defeat. And in that particular episode, South Africa actually won the World Cup. They defeated all the world's powers. So the point is that this anger, this hatred, this, you know, resentment that he had, he turned it in a positive direction. And he saved South Africa from a major calamity, where if there had been a civil war and the country had been split into three different divisions, thousands of people could have been killed. And South Africa, because of his effort, became a modern, progressive democracy where the people vote for the president and people are elected. And so the point is that to see a spiritual person, one doesn't have to necessarily see him in wearing a monk's clothes, orange, or wearing a priest's habit, or chanting the name of the Lord, or praying. Yeah, those people are spiritual, but one can find a spiritual person even in the president's palace. So that is the idea of, you know, that such people can inspire us. And actually, Mandela got his inspiration from Mahatma Gandhi. He says that in many places, that it was Mahatma Gandhi's courage and his, how Mahatma Gandhi accepted the British, you know, with love, even though of what was done. So that is the idea, that the sadhana or the spiritual practice can be practiced by wherever we are. You doesn't necessarily have to be in a church or be a priest. In whatever position you are, whatever location you are, practice that journey and find God within.
This concludes this segment of Impact with Dr. Anil Mehta. Join us again next time.